Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert. Welcome everyone to the hottest podcast in the world.
In the world.
It's the happiest, the horror-riviest.
That's not a word. Because I'm an English teacher.
You are. Do you know, remember in our trailer when I said everyone can have a happy horror time? I kind of like that. I want it to stick.
Like that.
Do you think it'll be like Fetch?
Quit trying to make Fetch happen.
Quit trying to make happy horror time happen.
No, I want it to happen.
And then, yes. So everyone out there, if you're like enjoying horror movies,
this is what I want you to do. Subscribe, like and lick.
Lick, like, and subscribe.
Yeah.
You know what today is, Tim?
Tell me.
Well, for everyone listening, this is actually going to be coming out Sunday, April 11th, but we're recording this on
April Fool's. Matt, you look great today.
Thanks, Tim.
April Fool! Oh,
Tim, you are so sexy.
Thank you.
April Fool!
Matt, you're so good on this podcast. I mean, sometimes.
Thank you. Tim, I love being your co-host.
April 19th is my birthday.
Oh, yes, that's true. Wow, that was a good little segment,
thank
Tim.
You, thank
Let's
you, thank
call
you.
It improv.
That's true. I took many improv classes.
Okay, now you're just humble bragging.
But no, I'm saying what I was about. You didn't let me finish. I was going to say you who have never taken a class. I think you're ready.
I don't think you're ready.
We to can't go sing with it. Freddy with Krueger.
Tim has taken improv. I've seen Tim do improv. I've seen Tim do stand-up. I've seen Tim do live sex shows. I've seen him do all of the above.
What was I the best at?
Definitely not the live sex show. Just kidding.
I know. That's I phoned that in. I wasn't
you
into
that
it.
In. No, I think, I mean, you were funny in both. In improv, you were really funny. I think the only reason I think I enjoyed improv more is because
there's other people on stage.
No,
and they're
it's
cuter.
Because you're doing sketches and scenes, and like stand up, I feel like it's just like us shooting the shit, you know?
Oh,
like
I
you're doing
hate
jokes.
That phrase, for shoot the shit.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you prefer?
Shooting on shit.
Shooting on shit. You know, so I just feel like we were shooting on shit. No, but you're great at stand up, but it's like when it's improv, it's like funny seeing you as a character, I guess,
oh,
you know?
Thanks.
But I've never done improv. I've done tons of theater, but I need a script. I need a script.
Yeah,
don't
you
make
do.
Me make something up. I cannot do it.
Neil. I just called you Neil. That oh, he's
well, tell everyone who Neil
oh,
is.
Oh, okay. Neil, he's my friend from sixth grade, 1989.
Do I look like him?
You're both tall.
Oh, well, you know what? I guess I look like every guess I look like every
no,
tall
No, you're
man.
Both funny and tall gentlemen.
I was preferring
both
good-looking, smart, athletic,
no,
handsome.
He is smart, and he is athletic, yeah. Uh-oh. I mean, like, we were on the track team, cross-country team.
Wow. So, okay. So I am tall and I remind you of your friend from sixth grade.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, now he's an adult.
What if you're then like April Fool?
No, definitely not April Fool. We still chat to this day.
Oh, see, yeah. That's good. My best friend is from second grade. Got you beat. We met when I was 6 years old. So, you know, like.
Is it Josh?
Yeah, it's Josh.
His wife is a genius.
My best friend's wife once, she must have been blind for the moment because she said that she thought Tim looked like Justin Hartley, which if you don't know Justin Hartley, and he's the incredibly hot guy on This Is Us, blonde. Blue eyes, muscular, like incredibly
gorgeous.
And she said that he reminded her. And after I doubled over in laughter, I said, when was the last time you went to the optometrist? Which is
right.
funny because Josh's dad is an optometrist,
right.
So she should go pretty often. Secondly, I said, do you know who Justin Hartley is? Just kidding. No, it was very nice.
And it Tim was, and I will remembered
not let that
it.
Go.
I put that in my back pocket for all the rainy days.
Oh, except that all the rainy days are literally every time I mention my friend.
Oh, my God.
Because he says, oh, my God, his wife is a genius.
She
but
is.
No. You know, hey, it gives you that moment of joy.
It
and
really
that's what
does.
Life is about.
And honestly, it makes me sweat.
Really?
Yes, because
thinking of Justin Hartley
no,
or thinking about being called Justin Hartley?
Both, all the above. But do you remember in the movie Bad Moms 2 Christmas? Is that what it's called? Christmas
Yes,
Mom?
When he's getting his like butt waxed and
yes.
stuff and his balls. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, I've never done that, but that scene, I think, looks like
well,
me.
He's naked and his, like, legs are up. You don't actually see anything. It's, like, from a side view, but it's really funny. I actually enjoyed that movie.
I did, too.
Yeah. But speaking
Sorry,
of moments
I've got,
of...
I've gotten
Tim,
in my
Tim's
mouth.
Having a little problem with his mouth right now. But speaking of moments of joy, we're going to get onto our two films.
Yes.
And one of them, we decided to return to a series that we were watching pretty frequently when they were doing them. I'm sure if you have Hulu and you know Blumhouse, which I think is almost everyone who likes horror, they do a series called Into the Dark, where last year, or actually up until last year, every month they would release a feature-length movie that was related to some like holiday or some occurrence during
some
that month.
Some were good and some were some stinkers.
Yeah, and it's like they had so much to play with because, you know, October obviously can be Halloween, November, Thanksgiving, like stuff. And they were doing it every month. And Tim's right, some were good, some were stinkers. But then obviously we hit the P word, your favorite.
Pandemic.
And that halted production. And their last one, I was looking this up, was in July of 2020, but then they came back in February with one called Tentacles, and then one that was released at the very, very end of March, which we watched and are going to talk about, and it's called
Blood Moon. Not to be confused with the 1996 movie called Bad Moon.
Not to be confused with the 1980-something movie called Bloodsport.
Not to be confused.
Keep it going. It's like, what other moon? Is there Moonstruck?
Moonstruck with Cher. It's, don't confuse it.
Don't construe. See, now I'm tongue-tied.
This you said is, don't construe.
Okay, anyway. So Blood Moon is there. It's funny because I think they've given up on like trying to stay according to the month or something because there's a full moon every month. So.
First off, as an education, I learned something. I did not know that.
Tim did not know. I was explaining to Tim while watching that there is a full moon every month, and the moon goes through four stages. New, quarter, half, three quarter, and full. And then I mooned Tim and said, there's a full moon.
And then I said, put that fat ass away.
How dare you? No, none of that happened April Fool's. But Tim didn't know about full moons every month. But I informed him. And so basically,
it's educational.
Yeah. But so this movie, what I'll say, like, to give the setup is it's a very different take on kind of a werewolf movie, like a much more, I feel like, character driven.
I was totally. First off, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I liked it. I loved it. Actually, I'm going to say, I can't say I loved it because it's not, I don't want to see it again.
Okay. Well, no, hey, that's okay. I mean, so just to set it up, it's about a mother and a son. And the mother and the son, they're like coming into a new town and basically she's like moving in and her first thing that she's trying to do is going to a hardware store to get stuff to assemble a cage. And through flashbacks, basically you realize that the mom met a man who apparently was a werewolf, and she got impregnated by him. Oh, but actually, I didn't even see the opening scene.
I know, that's what
oh
I was like.
God, I'm so
I was
sorry.
Sitting
well,
here the, like, okay.
Well, that's
so
the setup,
in the very,
tell
very
about the
beginning,
opening scene. Yeah.
What's her name in the movie? So I don't
her name is
her.
Esme.
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one to say. Esme. she, like, was protecting, I guess, a baby in a cage. Mm-hmm. And, like, then she walks down the stairs, and there's, like 2 feet. But it's, I'm assuming that the werewolf's
the dead,
going
yeah.
back to
human
form. So there's blood all over the feet. So you're like, okay, well, she, because there's also a huge scrape on her back. Like, she escaped, I guess, a werewolf attack?
Yeah, and I think it was very stepfather-y. It's like first scene where it's like, and then they exit the house. Yes, I apologize. I forgot about that.
Not forgiven. April Fool.
It was a big opening scene. So basically what you notice is she's obviously killed someone who you can tell probably was a werewolf because, like Tim said, she had the scratch, and you just see the person's feet, and then she's escaping with the baby. And then it flashes forward.
I have a question now. Did the baby kill the dad, or did
No. She,
oh, the dad
she
was
had a
werewolf.
Shotgun.
Okay.
The baby was locked away because I think, and we'll get to it, that already the baby every month at the full moon was turning into a werewolf.
Oh,
too.
Matt, it's called the blood moon.
Sorry, Tim, the astrologist here. I mean, the astronomist, sorry. The astrologist are doing horoscopes.
I'm an Aries / Taurus.
Oh, I'm a Scorpio, so don't fuck with me.
Is that what they're known for?
They're known for being vengeful. For being incredibly passionate. They're supposed to be the best lovers. And I feel like every sign says that, but look up Scorpio. It's true. They're just very emotional, passionate, and vindictive.
Do you know what Aries are known for? They're very
being assholes.
No, they're very sensitive. So please don't look at me like that.
Oh my God. Okay,
don't look
makes
at me.
So much sense. Wait, Aries, the god of war, is known for being sensitive?
I'm a Taurus and an Aries.
But a Taurus is a bull, right?
You listen. I'm a snake. Like,
I don't know. Who cares? I'm born in April.
In some astrological signs, April 19th is sometimes the last Aries. That's the title of my book, The Last Aries. Pick it up at
Barnes & Noble. Pick it up at a garage sale for 10 cents.
It's 10 cents. Or sometimes I'm a Taurus. So
you're on the cusp.
My name is Cusp.
Okay. Well, way to derail.
I want people to know.
It's okay. It's very important because we are talking about moons. So, yeah. But anyway, so after that opening scene, flash forward 10 years later, she has this kid and you're starting to realize like she's preparing for something. She needs to build a cage. She has a calendar and she circled the 21st day of the month. Now, you don't have to be Einstein to realize, and especially, you know, seeing the trailer for this, that obviously her kid is a werewolf and she's preparing to make sure, I guess, he's held captive when he turns. But the very first time.
But she's way too protective because apparently this was her seventh move. We find out seventh. I was trying to say move, but moon came out.
Oh, I was like, oh, wait, that's seventh, like, there's more. Oh, move. Yes. They've been moving around. Well, it's tough when you have a werewolf as a kid.
You know, we just saw a film like this called Sun.
Yes, but this one was way better.
You think so?
I do, 100%.
I guess I like Sun because it was just off the rails and bloody. I did say I did like this film because I thought the performances were so good.
Well, that's the thing. So just to tell people listening, for the first, I'd say like half of the movie, it's all character driven. Like there really isn't, other than that opening scene, there's not much like horror or gore. They're setting the scene. You're building the relationship between the mom and her son. The son is like a smart 10-year-old. He knows that he's a werewolf and he has to do this, but he just desperately wants a normal life. The mom like is getting a job just to make ends meet.
She has an amazing work ethic. She goes into this bar. She's like, I want 5 shifts a week, but he's like, I offer you 4.
Everyone like sexually harasses her. Oh. They're all horrible.
Everyone in the town wants to date her and harass her.
Exactly. Like the sheriff is a creep and wants to like feel her up. Like it's like a small podunk town. And you like, know,
it's,
everyone's
it takes
awful.
Place in 2020, right?
I mean, like there are towns
cell phones,
like that.
Right?
The
movie, if they didn't have cell phones, it could take place.
And yeah, no, 70s, it had 80s, that 90s. Weird outsider type of feel to it. But like the first time, it's funny because you see that she has this ritual, like basically the night before, or, you know, she like puts him in the cage, she reads to him, and then they do a good job in this of not showing you the wolf until the end, which will
wait. Oh my God, which I love.
But at the beginning, you hear him have the transformation and you hear the wolf and like, but then she just kind of leaves him alone and she comes back the next day and he's back to human form.
What she puts in the cage is interesting. She goes out into the middle of nowhere and kills a cow with like a
that's like one of those guns that it like you put it right to their head and it just like pounds through the head. I don't know what it's called.
So then she has to cut it up and throw it in the cage.
Yes, so it has to be completely fresh meat. But the thing is that this movie shows that this woman not only has done this a lot, but she's like used to it. Like she knows this is her life. She doesn't have a choice if she wants to protect her kid, because if she lets the kid go out as like a wolf, then who knows what it'll do. And it's funny because in the middle of the movie, they have a conversation where the kid is asking about his dad. And she admits that she had to kill him because as a wolf, he was going to attack her and that was all she could do. And then it's funny because the kid asks, well, do you think if I wasn't in a cage and was a wolf, I would attack
Very
you?
Legit question.
It is a legit question, I thought, but it's funny because that totally, like, of course they put that in because it sets up the end, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I guess just as we're going along, it's just really building the characters in a way that no werewolf movie I've seen has ever done.
I was into it because I wanted this mother to succeed. I was rooting for her.
And we were all rooting for
you,
Tyra
Banks.
Yeah, I know.
America's Next Top Model.
But there's one person who's nice to her and doesn't try to feel her up all the time. And it's the guy who runs like the hardware store. And I can't remember his name, but he's like nice. He wants to help the kid. So there's one close call because he invites the kid to another kid's birthday party. And again, this mom is so overprotective, she doesn't want her kid going anywhere.
So she cuts it really close. They call her in because there's a shift at the bar and she's like, but it's the day of the blood moon.
Or I think the day right before, right?
Oh, the day before?
Yeah, because when it gets to night, the moon.
Oh, okay,
right. You're right. The day of.
It was
sorry.
The day of. So they're like, they're building the suspense. Like she's like, I'll take the shift. So the kid's like, I'm going to take it upon myself to take this invitation and go to this park.
And she literally says, please stay here until I get back and then we'll put you in your cage and whatever. And being a 10-year-old kid, of course, he disobeys and goes.
Right. But the problem is like she could... I don't know. I don't have a kid. I don't have a kid who's a wolf, but I mean...
Look, it's a common problem. I just think that these parents need to learn how to treat little young werewolves.
No, but I mean, like, if he has no signs of werewolfism, then he can go to school.
Oh, of course, and that's the thing, but I think she's worried because... Here's the thing. I would just be like, okay, for the days around that day, you can't have to be in the cage, but... So when she gets home and he's not there, she runs to the party and literally he's already starting to like sweat and starting to almost turn.
Oh yeah, it looks like he's about to eat the birthday girl.
He's like he's just like craving blood, and she gets him in the car and she's like driving home.
But she does it in such a dramatic way that brings so much attention to her. Like, we gotta go. Well, it's like, hey everyone, do you have a werewolf as a kid?
I know. It's like, I know. Basically when she like rips him out of the party, they're like, either you're an abusive mother or like you have to take a dump really badly.
Right, like there, it's like
she's this, like, we gotta go.
It's coming out of left field, so it's like, if you don't want to bring suspicion to you, don't do that.
Well, on her way home, she doesn't make it before he turns into a wolf, and like he breaks out of the car as a wolf, and like I think where does she find him the next morning?
Then like, he's. Is he back home?
I feel like
he's on the front porch all bloody.
Yes. And she's like, oh my God, did he kill people? What happened? And I think then the news shows that just like some cattle were
killed.
Right.
So she's like, you know what? We can stay.
We can deal with it. They kill cattle for meat all the time, you know. But we get to like, I guess would say like the final act, the climax.
Yes.
And
her boss comes rolling on in.
Yes. So of course you're wondering, because you're watching this movie.
He's a nice guy.
I will say this. If you're watching this movie for the first two-thirds, you may be like, there's not a lot happening, but just wait, because it has a big ending. And of course, as you know, we spoil everything, so we're gonna spoil it.
Yeah, here we go. So the boss knocks on the door and he's like, we actually like him, he's a good character, and
he
like
was-ish,
he just wants to ask her out, and he brings flowers.
Oh, yeah.
And like but the mom's taking a nap, so the kid answers the door. So he's like, oh God, it stinks in here. Like, what's that? Maybe I could fix the pipe. I mean, it really stinks. But what's downstairs is a bunch of...
Not only a cage, but it's a cage and all this like meat,
cow
dead meat,
meat?
Like, and stuff, and a cage. And remember, he's like going to go and tell, and the mom knocks him out. She could have killed him.
Well, actually, he wasn't going to tell. He went down to the basement, and then as he was coming back up, she hits him with a gun. I don't think she knew who he was.
I think she just thought an intruder was in or something. But anyway, she realizes, what am I going to do? And she pulls him into the cage where the kid is and leaves the kid in there, because it's, again, the night of the moon, full moon again. And so she's going to, he needs to be in the cage. Well, then the lovely sheriff and his assistant cop, who
the
are total
harassers.
Creeps come, and they say that the boss had never returned, and she's like acting weird, and they say, we need to look in your house. And she's like, no. And they like barge in, remember? And they go downstairs. They see the kid.
Well, no, they put her in handcuffs and then put her in the back seat of the car. And she's no.
They see the kid in the cage with like the boss's dead body and the meat. And I think they go and they let him out, right?
They take him down to the police station.
Yes, they take him down to the police station. They think, I mean, and in their defense, even though they're creeps.
Yeah, they don't know he's a werewolf.
And they're probably like, wow, this mom murdered her boss, puts her kid in a cage, and feeds him raw meat.
But you know what I was also like? Yes, she accidentally killed her boss, but then I was like, you know, that kid's going to get, like, fresh meat.
You're like, you know what? Let's look at the silver lining
right
here.
I was like, you know what? He does not eat that crappy old cow meat.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure humans taste way better than cows.
I agree.
Especially as
a cannibal.
Especially humans that run bars, you know, because they've got alcohol in their system
right?
and
Woo,
stuff.
You get drunk.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we go down to the police station where like I keep saying the climax, but now this really is
this climax. This is the climax.
Climax. How many times can we say climax?
Climax.
Climax. Climax.
Cinemax. Climax.
Exactly. The climax. So she's trying to say like, you have to lock him up, put him in a cage. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Your kid. Like, you're crazy. Which I will say, from their point of view, she's crazy.
It does sound crazy. Well, anyway, like one of the cops talking to the kid, and the kid just transforms completely into the wolf and then goes on just in killing rampage and just rips apart every cop. It was very like Terminator, like just
takes
killing
them all
every
out.
Cop. Exactly. And the big, big thing happens, which they alluded to earlier, where the mom is like trying to get to a cell and she finally comes face to face with the wolf. And
her son.
I want to hear what your opinion. When they finally showed the wolf, did it just look like a big dog
to
you?
It was a big dog. It was a big wolf dog. I don't know. It was trained. It was no makeup.
I think it was CGI.
It was done that I was questioning.
I was a little let down only because it's not like I wanted some gruesome, like over the top wolf, but I also didn't want like something that looked like this, like very docile dog.
I was just happy it wasn't that kid was out of the movie.
Well, I guess maybe because he's still a kid, he's not like a full big wolf, but it looked like a big white husky. But anyway, the wolf like comes up close to her and she's like, you know, no, don't hurt me or whatever. And you're wondering like, is he going to rip her apart or what?
And I think he just licks her.
I think he either just sniffs her or licks her. And then it switches to like, she's just leaving.
Right. And then the guy that helped her throughout the movie and gave her the supplies to make the cage in the basement, he's like, hey.
And suddenly then she's like, oh, that's him. Like, oh, sorry. Like, it was a big, like she was almost like he already knew he was a werewolf. And she's like, okay, you know, I need some help. This is my son. You know what I mean? And she's bringing him in and he's just a wolf and she's just supposed to accept it. What is so funny?
Sorry. When you were doing your explanation, you were using
hand. I accidentally touched Tim's hand and apparently that.
Listen, I haven't been touched in a year.
Wow. Well, yeah. I hope that's not how you react when someone does touch you laughing. I can just see on the Tim's first date, someone touches him like that and he's just bust up laughing.
Oh my God, that was just too funny.
Just don't do that when the person takes their pants off, okay?
Oh my God.
Don't start laughing hysterically or that may hurt their ego. But anyway, it was just a very abrupt ending because suddenly she's like just going to leave town with her son as the wolf and the guy helps her, no questions asked.
No, like he's just like, I accept that your son's a wolf.
a very nice looking white wolf, you know? Like,
I mean, I will say it's a really, and then the little boy slash wolf just jumps in the back of the truck and is like, okay, we can go.
Yeah, and so I guess overall, so now we can talk about, because you said you liked it. I actually really liked this.
I did too.
I will say, I do think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to watch this and feel like it was too slow or that not enough happened.
You know
but
what? We have very short attention spans and true. We liked it.
Wait, what'd you say?
Who are you? No, I thought it kept my interest.
And
who
it was
knows
well,
why? I don't
but
know.
It was well done. That's why the performances were great.
Yes.
The woman who played Esme and the kid who played Luna, which obviously is funny that his name's Luna because based on the moon.
Oh, it was I just took a it good, as Luna Bar.
Definitely Luna Bar. Yeah, yeah. Protein. It just was done well. It did have elements of horror and gore, but it was much more character driven. So yes, it's not straight. It's not Silver Bullet. I love Silver Bullet.
Oh, me too.
But it's not Silver Bullet, and it's not, what's another werewolf movie?
Wolf starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer, yes.
James Spader.
Yeah, Spader. Suddenly, is he ethnic?
I'm not sure. No, I was trying to, I can't say Michelle
Pfeiffer. Just like, forget the P, just say that.
Pfizer, I got a shot.
Michelle
Thank you.
Pfizer, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but I really recommend this because it just was done well.
I agree. I thought it was very well made. It kept my interest in the performances were solid gold.
So I would say, like, congratulations to Blumhouse because you had some stinkers in Into the Dark, and I feel like they finally, they had some time off, but they found their footing with this because it was done well and it was different. Like, again, when I saw the preview, I was like, okay, cool. I haven't seen a werewolf movie that different.
I think there's a lot of movies where mothers protect their children.
Yeah, yeah. that aspect. I think I was thinking more like the werewolf type of thing. Like, there wasn't, like, it wasn't a whodunit. It wasn't, like, constant horror and gore. It was more about the relationship between the mom and the son.
And movies have a trouble with pacing. This movie was a nice, relaxing pace.
It was a nice relaxing pace. I guess I'm just trying to say that there are going to be some people that probably are going to want more, and I totally get that.
I hate those people.
No, you know what I mean? It's like that, but this is, you just have to be prepared for like a slower build and just a good movie. I'd say, you
I
know?
Agree. I agree with you. A great movie.
Blood Moon. No, and I think they're back on doing one every month. So, you know, I'm interested to see if they keep it going, if it's at this level.
And
but
you know,
it could
I don't
be.
Even. I don't even think I looked at my phone during it.
That is shocking because with Tim, I constantly give Tim shit because he's always wanna, and I think everyone does that now, but always looking at his phone during movies, and I'll always say, hey, Tim, are they broadcasting the movie on your phone? And they'll say, oh, yeah.
I actually say, yes, they are.
I'm like, oh, really? Oh, you learn about the movie on your phone?
But just so everyone knows, I don't do that in the actual movie theater. But
since I've been awful
off of the movie theater for a year.
Have you ever been in a movie theater where someone's answered their phone in it? Because I have.
Yes. I've been in a movie theater where I saw Mummy Dearest and people were quoting it, so that this lady stood up and said, shut the F up to the guy quoting it.
But did she say the F and you just don't want to say right. fuck?
Or I don't like to, I don't like to say F word.
Oh, please. Tim tries to pretend he's so innocent. You should see, as soon as we turn this mic off, he starts dropping F bombs.
Shut up.
He starts dropping F bombs like it's nobody's business.
I don't think that kind of language is ever necessary.
And with that, let's move on to our second movie, which was, I think it was released in theaters and on demand at the same time.
Yeah, so, I did see that it was playing at the Mission Tiki Drive-In.
Oh, that'd be cool to see in a drive-in. Yeah. And this movie is called The Seventh Day, starring Guy Pearce.
It's that sexy guy from Memento 2020.
Oh, yes.
Not 2020. 2020, like,
wait.
2000.
Okay, I was like, there's another two
it's
in there.
It's 2021.
The thing is, The Seventh Day came out the very end of March also, same time as Blood Moon, theatrical release, but also on demand at the same time. When I first saw the trailer, the reason why I thought it was good for us is because, yes, they've done a million exorcism movies, yes, but this one looked a little different. It just looked like it was slightly different, and I will say it ended up being different.
It's interesting that, like, they didn't shy away from doing, like, it is, they have a kid, like, they do the exorcist route, like, the way Reagan was, like, tied up in a bed, and the parents, they have all of that.
But there's a big twist at the end, which I want to hold off. Of course, we're going to spoil it, but we're going to, of course. But I want to wait just because we can set it up. Because you're right, it did a lot of the same exorcism things. But this one has another opening scene, which this time I'm not going to forget. Because remember, that was the big opening scene with them. So it has a young guy and an older.
1995.
Yes, it said. And the older guy was, I forget, because
he's in a lot of
Keith
stuff.
Keith David. He's in a lot of stuff.
What's he most famous for, by the way?
He was most famous for Crash. Oh, he was in there Something About Mary? Dead Presidents. I'm looking at it right now. Anyway, you definitely know him.
You know him, you love him.
Live it, learn it, love it. Isn't that from
Jawbreaker?
Yes, I love Jawbreaker. Anyway, so this movie, back to this movie. Opening scene, they're doing an exorcism on a boy who is just really fucked up. I mean, like, his face is being contorted in different ways.
It looks like the Joker.
His parents are like, save my son. His skin is burning. And, like, you see Keith David and you see a younger person. And basically, the exorcism is going on. And then a cross necklace that's around the mother's neck
flies off, kills Keith David.
Yeah, big cameo done.
Right in the neck.
And then it kind of just stops. And you don't know what happened. And then it goes to the present. And you learn that the boy who they were trying to do the exorcism on died, just like combusted in flames.
Which is very sad.
Very sad, but I love that we're laughing because it's just, well, and I think they have flashbacks of it, but, like, you know, that's pretty gruesome, especially for a kid.
Yeah, and then, so he's now, that kid that was being taught everything by Keith David is now played by Guy Pearce.
Yes, and he's, like, still a priest, but he's like
sexy, gruff.
But, like, very, like, he cusses. He doesn't wear the priest garb. He's like a cool priest. He's like a cool priest.
But I mean, like, he did. I thought he was wearing it.
Oh, maybe when he went into the. But like, he went. Oh, I'm thinking when he was going out.
Like a cool outfit and his hair is spiky.
But he like cusses. Like he's not what you would normally think of a priest. Yes, he smokes. He cusses. So anyway. They're giving him sort of an apprentice, what he was to King David.
Who's he playing?
King David. I said King David. Keith David.
King
David.
We're
going into the Bible, everyone. So the younger priest, so Guy Pearce is named Father Peter, and the younger priest is played by Vadhir Derbez, and
he's cute.
A cutie.
But I wouldn't say, like, he made me swoon the way, like, Justin Hartley does.
I don't know. Him with that priest uniform was, like, I don't know, even being Jewish, for some reason, priests is like, I know priests can be really creepy too.
You know,
with
maybe
the whole...
I'll be a priest for Halloween this year.
No.
Is that a lame costume?
No, I mean, like, as a costume for Halloween, like, you got to add something to it. Like when people are like a pregnant nun, like, you can be a, I don't know. What can you add to a place?
I want to play it 100% straight.
Everything I'm thinking of is like really, really off color. So I'll just skip that. Anyway, Vadhir Derbez is Father Daniel, and he's like this young guy that they bring in. And right away, Guy Pearce is like, wants no part of him because, oh, what's this like youngin doing? Has he been in school? And they want him to help Guy Pearce look into like exorcisms.
So he takes him around, and their first stop is under a bridge.
Oh, this is great.
And so yes. Trying to find the one person that could be possessed.
Yes, it's very well. What you have to understand about like the state of mind or the state of the world in this movie is that like exorcisms, at least to this church, are just like commonplace. Like they're acting like it's like there's demons all around us. They gotta
Let's
be exorcised.
Take them out.
Yeah, and they go to this. It's like a tent city.
They talk to this lady who's like, he's over here. And so they go over there and you think he might be possessed, but in fact, he's just crazy.
Well, the guy they think is, so basically Guy Pearce is trying to do a trial run for the younger priest and Father Daniel. And he's like, you know, go find the person who's possessed or something like, you know, not helping, just like, you know, do it. And he thinks that, he thinks that this one guy's possessed, but then...
There's a twist!
There's a twist there because the woman comes back who was like, you thought was the friendly person leading them, and Guy Pearce says, hey, to the younger priest, read this. And he reads the name of a demon, and suddenly...
The lady has such a response. I think she falls to the ground and eats glass.
She... like starts transforming into a demon, eats glass.
The tents of the homeless people, the tents go everywhere, and suddenly it's like, it's insane.
And my first thought, I don't know about you, is like, first off, so many people would witness this, that right away, like, it'd be on the news, and like supernatural stuff would be every day. But
none of it's documented. Yeah. No, it doesn't get out to the local news.
She turns into like a crazy demon, and then like Guy Pearce starts like reading all this Bible stuff, and like basically... gets the demon out of her, or you think because she just like leans down and then she's okay.
But the amazing part is like we did see her eat glass and she's still alive.
And you hear it. Remember
it's
those?
Gross.
It's like the sound of it's like, and I'm just thinking, I feel like I could feel the glass in my throat.
Right. So the movie's on. It's great.
It's great. Well, I mean, the sound effects guy did real, or girl did really great. Like it was amazing. But the younger priest, I keep calling him the younger priest, let's say Father Daniel, but like, it's Father Daniel.
Daniel
and Father Peter, those are like the most bland names. How are you going to know the difference? Anyway, so basically Father Daniel's
shaken.
Now
there's a bigger case of a child that killed his entire family?
Yes, very Amityville 2.
Yes, very.
And
blatant ripoff.
And they show like flashbacks where this kid, his family wasn't the greatest family, but remember when they showed that scene where, the family treats the kid like shit. Not saying that means you should murder your family, but if there is going to be a family.
if your family starts treating you bad, go get an axe.
Get an axe and just blame it on the spirits,
right? Blame it on Satan.
Hey, look, Satan made me do it. I think a lot of people do that, actually.
I mean, that was...
The Night Stalker. No, he actually was a Satanist. He didn't blame it on Satan. But anyway, but you know who blamed it on the rain?
Milli Vanilli.
Yes, but they didn't actually sing. They just lip sync.
That's right. You know,
them
really
and
don't
Ashley
wanna,
Simpson
I don't talk
on
about
SNL.
Them.
Milli Vanilli?
No.
One of them's still alive, right?
No, one committed suicide.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's so sad. How dare you bring it out?
Oh my god! I mean, well, let's never talk about them.
Never.
Anyway, back to the movie. Okay. So yes, there's a kid. There's a case. He killed his entire family with an axe, and you do see clips of it. It's kind of gruesome. And they say he was possessed, and they're going to visit him at the mental institution. Right.
So the younger priest, Father Daniel. Right?
Yes, good.
Thank you.
I already forgot.
Father Daniel gets the luxury of going in there first.
Well, did you notice that Father Peter, Guy Pearce, is like, you go in. Like, at that point, I was starting to get a little confused.
Like, he's just throwing
him
in.
Why is he not participating in this? I mean, I get, like, you want your apprentice to do, it's like throwing a kid into the pool and saying swim, but, like, he kept doing it. I was like, you're going to help or
not? I was like, wait a second. If you're such the pro, why can't you both be
there
at the
same time? But he just kept staying away. But anyway, that'll lead to things.
So he talks to him and like, it's true. The kid is possessed and he tackles him to the ground and he has a devil's voice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You see that this kid is definitely possessed. He rises up in the air, very Matrix-y. Remember, like, the kid.
It was cool.
This movie definitely had a budget.
So like, so then they're like, he's like, skating rink. So then they go to the skating rink.
Oh, wait. What did he say about, he said the skating rink is where he
found out or like where the spirit was released?
Where he was possessed. Yeah.
So they find these three bratty kids and they like have a Ouija board. They're like contacting
Well, that's what they said led to the spirit taking over the kid. They have like a Ouija board in the basement or like a room of a roller rink, which just looked dirty.
Yeah. So Guy Pearce is like, hey, why don't you ask the...
Hey, let me tell you to do something and not participate myself. No biggie.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to participate.
Daniel, here's another one for you. Yeah. And the sad thing is Father Daniel, I think it's like his first day on the job doing this. And literally.
It must be like 3 days time.
It feels like in his first couple days, like he's put from the tent city exorcism to being talking to the kid at the mental institution to the Ouija board scene. Like all of these scenes, he's seeing all these demons. What did he see at the roller rink? I can't even remember.
Like he was quickly possessed. Like, I mean, he had like a jolt or something.
Yes. And he keeps seeing things through like the eyes of the kid. Like he kind of experiences that's how he sees like the kid murdering his family and all this stuff.
Oh yeah. He sees through. Yes,
sees himself remembering the house and all of that and everything like that. But anyway, they finally get to a point where, and I don't know why like everything is melding together. So you may need to help me because how they get the kid to the house exorcism. Did they break him out? I can't remember.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's so okay, we'll with Blood this. Moon, we knew everything. No, actually we won't. We'll keep this in. This is funny.
Okay. After all that,
It's not important. They get the kid out of the mental institution and bring him to the house to do the exorcism. And this is getting to more of like the climax in the movie. And so it's Father Daniel, Father Peter, Guy Pearce, who really hasn't done much. And
except
for being a sexy priest. Well, two sexy priests.
I preferred Guy Pearce.
Really? Yeah, I guess. They're both cute.
I think it was the other guy's hair looked like a wig, so I was like...
It was very dark and very glossy, like whatever gel or stuff he was using was so like very wet.
It took me out of it.
You're like, I can't have that hair.
I can't deal with that.
So they are trying to do the exorcism. Again, Guy Pearce is like trying to have him kind of take lead. And Guy Pearce says, one thing we forgot is that Guy Pearce tells him the story of how he had to watch his, you know, Keith David get murdered and watch the kid burn up. And so he's obviously scarred from this and everything. But as they're doing the exorcism,
Father Daniel has a
big revelation.
He's like, wait a second. Like, there's something
off. Because he's like, it goes to one of those montages of the flashbacks where like, it's like a movie is trying to test if you like caught all the Easter eggs. And it's like basically taking you through things
It's like the sixth sense. It was always there.
It's like a big revelation. And the big revelation is that Father Peter, Guy Pearce
is
possessed himself.
Oh, I thought we were both going to say the devil.
Oh, well, he's not. I don't know if we know he's the devil. He's just possessed.
Well, isn't possession mean the devil?
Well, if it depends, I guess, what you believe. Like, if there's only one devil, it can't... demons possess people, and yeah, I can't believe what we're talking about. I mean, unless, I guess, you believe in, like, thousands of devils, but,
I just believe that if you're possessed, you're the devil.
I don't think it works that way. I think there's the devil is like the leader of hell and all things evil. And then there's demons and things that can be all sorts of entities.
Oh, okay. Thank you for breaking that down.
Blood moons or full moons and demons versus devils. Tim is learning so much.
I am. I mean, last time I was possessed.
Last time.
No. I'm the devil.
Anyway, and it goes all these flashes and you realize that Guy Pearce has been, well, they were talking about like all these clues of that demons are all around us, the fact that he led them to all the demons and the fact that he hasn't been participating in the exorcisms. In fact, it makes me think, and I don't know what you think, but that whole tent city thing with the woman, I think was just for show.
Oh yeah. I think that was Guy Pearce's way. Like, hey, look,
trust me.
Yeah. That was all just for show.
So basically, what's his name? He turns the cross on Guy Pearce.
And you know what? He's right.
He's right. Well, first Guy Pearce is like, what are you doing? What? I'm not wrong. And then, of course, he lets his demon voice out. And yes, he has been possessed. So this entire time.
And then they fight in the kitchen.
I think you're supposed to think that he was possessed during that opening scene. When the Keith Dave was killed.
It makes sense because like, okay, so that little necklace of the cross flies over, kills Keith David, but like there was a weirdness there that like he wasn't really alarmed.
Doing anything. Yes, yeah, he wasn't like... alarmed, and he, as a young priest, you see he just isn't doing anything. And so basically, I think the audience is led to believe that he has been
possessed. He's the man behind the...
Mask, Jason Voorhees.
No, he's the man behind the devilings?
Well, no, I think he got possessed at that point. I mean, I guess it's up for interpretation. Maybe he's been possessed his whole life. Right. But I feel like they showed that opening scene.
It was vague.
Because it was A, traumatic, and B, because I think that's the event that made him possessed. But that means he's been like a demon priest for like, I don't know, 20 years.
Let
or
me
something.
Do the math. 1995.
Yeah, or 26 years.
Yeah, yeah, just going
that's
around.
That's a lot of demon priesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't have time for that.
Yes. Well, they have a fight in the kitchen, and like finally, I forget, does he
oh, it's a weird ending. He like, yes. He takes his necklace and looks in the mirror and smashes it, and then there's just an explosion.
Oh, yes. And then it's like Guy Pearce for like a second. I guess you're supposed to think it's almost like he's back to his normal human self. And doesn't he say thank you and then dies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like,
but like he also dies the same way Keith David died with the slit in the throat.
Yes. He has a slit in the throat and he says like, thank you. It's almost like it's like, yeah, I'm finally released. And then he dies. And I don't remember what happened after that before
oh,
the credits.
At the end, he gets in the car. The priest gets in the car, and apparently he's on his way to another
oh,
exorcism.
Yes. He now that he's realized that Guy Pearce has been like a demon priest all this time, he realizes that all these people that Guy Pearce worked with were possessed, and right. He's going to have to go and exorcise all of them.
The work he's got, like Guy Pearce basically just gave him a job.
Screwed up everything. Well, because he's going to have to basically clean up Guy Pearce's mess of the last 20 years of fake priesting, and like that's quite a road.
I mean, I remember when I started fake priesting.
Well, I guess so. What did you think of it overall?
You know, it was very... I'm so easily entertained these days. I mean, like, I didn't think it was the best movie. I didn't think it was the worst movie. It kept my interest. Guy Pearce is easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, but it was a very, I don't think it was breaking any new ground.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's funny, as we're like recapping it, I'm like finding myself almost sort of bored, like hearing about it.
Sorry, whereas, everybody,
you
know, if you're bored.
No. What I mean is that Blood Moon, I feel like I was more energized with
I think
it as
it was
I'm
just,
talking about this.
I think
this.
You were more rooting for it.
It had a great twist. I've never seen the head priest, except at like the end of The Exorcist.
I
like
think
if
we
a priest
were guessing
gets possessed,
it.
We did have a feeling because Guy Pearce was acting weird through a lot of it. And I think if it weren't for the twist, I would be like, eh, about this movie. The twist made it, you know.
And you know, there was a lot of accent from Guy Pearce. It was like Australian mixed with English.
I still think it was Boston because, having gone to college in Boston, I do know that accent.
You know what, Guy Pearce is listening, so be kind.
Well, I can't. Guy Pearce is actually British, isn't he?
Good question.
I feel like he is, right? Yeah, he is an English-born Australian actor. That's funny.
Where does it say hashtag sexy?
Sexy. Guy Edward Pearce. That's I just
sounds like a philosopher.
Little. Yeah. So all in all, I thought it was pretty good. Like, I would recommend Blood Moon over this. I just feel like, although the special effects were good, like, and I think every Exorcist movie, do you feel like they keep trying to, like, top each other?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It will never be as good as The Exorcist because they're practical effects. As soon as I see CGI or anything computer, I'm like, I'm out.
No, you're right. And it's never going to have the novelty of The Exorcist. Like, because this ground has been covered so many times, they needed this twist to make it fresh. Like, you just can't do an exorcism movie without having something.
I feel like, and this is me, again, I liked the movie, but when I say this, it's not to be a bitch. It's just that it's been done. So I feel like the movie's already stale as soon as it starts.
No, that's true. It's like you already have something working against you, but do you think, like, they should never do exorcism movies again?
I mean, no. I mean, I like to see hot guys wearing the priest uniform, so it's fine.
That could be a porno, so you don't need an exorcism movie for that.
I don't know what kind of porn you watch.
Hot priests doing it.
Is there such a... I'm sure there is.
Oh, are you? Come on.
Listen, I don't know that
please,
much. I watch
creepy,
the same three
porns.
Creepy
priests and altar boys. I'm sure there's tons
ew,
of that porn. Hey, I'm Jewish. I don't do any of that. I wasn't... Were you an altar boy? I feel like you were.
Are you kidding me? I didn't even go like on Christmas Eve. Oh, I'm kidding. Oh. I went on like one Christmas Eve.
I feel like I could see you because you were so twinky looking when you were younger. I'm sorry. It's true. We'll have to post an old picture of like... If you see some of Tim's like headshots from his 20s... Wow.
Adorable.
You were probably just a kidding. Priest's fantasy.
Ew! We are going in oh grossness.
I'm sorry. This is so off color and I love it.
Ew, I do not like this. This is going.
I think a twink look is nice in your 20s. Like, it's like the cute, blonde, skinny, like, you know, I just feel like you totally look like you would have been an altar boy.
Well, I was not. I was in choir.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a really high, like, what?
I was a tenor.
Oh, tenor's like a male voice.
Well, a tenor, yeah, but it was like.
You're like, I was a tenor soprano.
No, but, no, but there's tenors is the highest.
Of the males?
Yeah.
But it's still like, not like you were a, God, I can't, it goes, forget it.
Who cares?
Soprano, tenor, bass, baritone, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I feel like bass, I'd be a baritone. Bass or a baritone.
I was never, but you know what? There is a stigma if you were a tenor, even in choir, it was like, oh, you're a girl.
Really?
I mean, that's the way I took it.
People suck. Yeah. And I think that's how we should.
Yeah, people are terrible. People suck.
But no, but what I will say, definitely go out. Definitely see Blood Moon. I'm sure everyone has a Hulu subscription or has their friend subscription. And I would see Blood Moon. When it comes to the seventh day, it was $6.99.
If there's time.
I think if you love exorcism movies, this was a good one.
If you like Guy Pearce and you're like, where's Guy Pearce?
You're like, if you like twists that were spoiled by us, do it. If there, like I said, some good effects, some scary moments and a good twist, but nothing like to write home about, right?
Yeah, but I am going to write home and just say, love Guy Pearce.
Dear, you should write the priest that you never had. And say, right. I think we should make you an altar boy now at like...
They're I don't like, know.
Excuse me, sir.
I don't know if 43-year-olds. That's right. I'm giving my age. I'm not ashamed. I don't know if they can be.
Well, but counting. Actually, this comes out on April 11th.
I will still be 43.
And everybody, you know, we'll have to wish. I think we'll have more episodes come out. We'll have to wish Tim a happy birthday coming up.
Yeah,
soon. It's your birthday month, Taurus.
You know what?
Gemini,
this is all I should do. Like, subscribe, write a what's a review on the Apple.
Yes, please. That's the thing. I hate desperately asking, but at the same time, please. If you like this podcast, like we could really use the reviews because the more reviews you have, the more legit you seem, and right. We want to be too legit to quit.
Is that a song?
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
Oh, good, good. Well, thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah, bye, kids.
Okay, bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many other platforms.
If you'd like to stay updated on the podcast, please like and follow our Happy Horror Time page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
To contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your movie recommendations or any horror stars you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast and gain access to our bonus episodes, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime and sign up to be a patron. We try to release at least one bonus episode per month and really appreciate the support.
Before we go, I just want to give a major shout out to our co-producer, Jacob Randall, without whom this podcast wouldn't be possible. Please check out his true crime podcast. It's called Crime of Your Life, where he examines obscure and unsolved criminal cases and mysteries. It's incredibly engaging for both true crime lovers or just anyone who loves a good mystery. So we highly recommend Crime of Your Life.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert.
And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.